Lord, we just look forward to that day, Lord, whenever you will return and call your children home, Lord. Lord, I just pray each and every person here this morning is ready, Lord, because there's no time to wait, because today could be that day that you would return. Lord, and if there is someone here this morning that does not know you in that free pardon of sin, that today would be that day that they would give their life to you. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. We will be in the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 18 through 26, and we will be going through the book of Corinthians in the next few weeks, the next 4 weeks, just not from verse 1 all the way through, but through different passages in it. But the book of 1 Corinthians is a book that Paul had written to the Corinthian people because they had got a hold of some heresies and some things in their life that they say, you know, or that they, let me just put it this way, that they let the world enter into the church. And they started going by society around them. And they started counting upon their own wisdom, because the Greeks in that day, and that was a very major part of the church and of that community of Corinth, that the Greeks were all about human knowledge. Well, you got to have knowledge. And Paul is trying to combat human knowledge with the true knowledge, the true wisdom of God and of God's Word. And I believe that, you know, they struggled with this in the day of Paul in Corinth. But guess who else struggles with it? We do today. Within the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, here today, we struggle with wisdom, with worldly wisdom or godly wisdom. And we want to bring the world into the church, and we want to run the church like the world. And Paul tells us that we need to get the world out of the church, and we need to live what God's Word tells us and according to Him. And whenever we look at that, it helps us to be guided by the power of the Holy Spirit of God. And we will become a strong church. We will become a church that people will look at and says, there's something different about them. What is different? The Lord is with us. And I look at this song, or you know, this song, Come Jesus Come. Man, and I tell you, it just resonates with me right now. And I believe it would probably resonate with a lot of you in the direction that we see the world going and that we see the church going. That come, Jesus, come. Man, we are ready. It's been too long. We are ready for you to come again and you to take us home. And folks, that is something that we need to be paying attention to, because the signs are here. The question I would ask, are you ready? Are you ready for the Lord to return? Just like in that song, today could be the day. We don't know the time and the hour. We have people that try to prophesy and people that try to say, well, it's going to be September 25th, 2025, and I'm just making a date up. But that's how people do. They say, it's going to be that day. The Lord's going to return on that day. Folks, we don't know what day that the Lord is going to return. You know, we can just look at the signs of the times that are around us. And what I see is, you better be ready, because He is going to return, because I have hope in Him, according to what God's Word tells me, according to the Holy Spirit that lives inside of me, that God is ready to come get His children. And are you ready to go with Him? As we were talking, I forgot who I was talking to the other day. I think it was one of the other preachers at the school. We got three now. So one of the other pastors at the school were talking about, you know, people, they come and they say, you know, only God judges me. Only God can judge me. And according to the book of Corinthians, if you're a Christian, that is not true. But if you're an outsider, God is going to judge you. But whenever it comes time for Him to judge you, it's going to be too late to repent. Because you're going to be standing before Him at the great white throne judgment at the end of Revelation. And we will see what happens to those whose names are not written in the book of life. Because if we were all judged by the books of our deeds, we would all be in trouble. Every single one of us. Even Billy Graham, even Mother Teresa, even all these people that we think of these religious giants of our world, folks, they would be in trouble if we were to be judged out of the books of our deeds that we have done. But I will be judged. And everyone else will be judged by, is your name written in the book of life? Do you know Jesus? Have you given your life to Him? Has your name been written down? Folks, and we look forward to that day. If you know Jesus, you look forward to that day. But if you don't, you will be in trouble. But we see here, you know, a church in crisis. And I believe the church here in the world today is in crisis. And we need, just as that song said, we need a turnaround. So if you will turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 18 through 26. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 18 through 26. And this is talking about the wisdom. It says, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to those who are being saved is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolishness the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For the Jews request a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Greeks foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolishness, or the foolish things of this world, to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of this world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world, and the things which are despised, God has chosen. And the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh shall glory in His presence, but of Him. You are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, the righteousness and sanctification and redemption, which has been written, He who glories, let him glory in the Lord. Lord, we just thank you so much for this day that you have given us, Lord. Just help give us direction, give us guidance, Lord, within our lives, Lord, that you would just do a mighty work in us, Lord. Let us look for your wisdom, Lord, not the rationale or the wisdom of this world that they try to figure things out, Lord, by science and by other things, Lord. Lord, things of this world, Lord, will take us down, Lord, but your wisdom will lift us up. Lord, thank you for your love. In Jesus' name, amen. I know I read a little further than what I had written down there, but, you know, once you get going, sometimes you just can't stop. You know, and it's just this wisdom that he's talking about. You know, the paradox, you know, the cross itself is a paradox to those in the world, the Jews and the Greeks. They can't understand it. You know, it's the foolishness, it's foolishness to this world that the cross could save us. But Jesus Christ tells us, and he knew from time past, from before this world, that we would give our lives to him and that he would save us because of the foolishness of Christ. What do the world think? The world thinks, well, if I'm a good person, then I'm able to go to heaven. I'm able to have a relationship with God. If I put my good and my bad on a ballast, on a weight, and the good outweighs the bad, man, St. Peter, he's going to usher me in to heaven. Folks, that's not how it works. That's the wisdom of the world. God tells us that the wisdom of Christ is the cross, is the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that he died on the cross for our sins, that he took my penalty, your penalty, what we owe. He took that upon himself so that we could have life. The world's wisdom versus God's wisdom are two different things. This world thinks of itself as, you know, this makes sense. Well, I can rationalize this in my mind. Folks, there's things in the Bible I can't rationalize in my mind. Because, you know why? Because God is bigger than me. God is bigger than you. God is bigger than this world, folks, and we need to accept it by faith, what God has said. Does the cross make sense to me in my human thinking? No, but it does in my body of Christ, in my thinking that God has given me with faith. So we have the cross. You know, it was a stumbling block to the Jews. They did not understand it. Why would my Savior, why would the one who came to take me away or come to redeem me, why would he have to die on the cross? He is the King. He is greater than all. He shouldn't have to die on the cross. But they missed it because it was a stumbling block for them. They couldn't get over the cross. And there's still Jews today that can't get over the cross. They can't get over Jesus, our Savior, the Messiah, the Son of the living God, hanging on a tree. Because that was a curse. But he did that for me and you. So this paradox, you know, this confusion, this foolishness of this world, you know, this world versus worldly wisdom versus godly wisdom. You know, the cross is a stumbling block. You know, all of these things, people try to rationalize it in their minds and they try to figure it out. And you're not going to figure it out. You just have to believe what his word tells you. What is faith? Evidence of the things not seen. We don't understand it a lot of times, but I accept it. Why? What I don't understand is why would a loving God that loves me so much, why would he die for me, a sinner that did not deserve it? Why would he do that? That is what is so confusing within our lives, is why would he do that for me? It's because he loves me. And he knew whenever he came to this earth that he was going to go to the cross and he was going to die for our sins. Another paradox here, you know, is the power in weakness. Strength is made perfect in weakness. When we humble ourselves and we say, you know, God, I love you. I'm putting my faith in you, even though I may not understand it. We get to be with him in heaven. She wanted her papa. I know what she wanted, so. Yeah. But we in our lives, we need to understand that we don't have to be the smartest one in the room. Because guess who ain't the smartest one in the room? Me. Who was that? Hannah? Anna? Oh, that was Jordan? Yeah. Well, it's true. I am not the smartest one in the room. I can promise you that. But God takes the foolish things of this world and he does something great. So don't think, you know, and this is where Paul, he kind of goes to, and we'll go into a little bit later, you know, not today, but later in this series, you know, that Paul talks about, you know, gifts and stuff. Some people think, you know, well, I don't really have any gifts. You know, I can't really do anything. The foolishness of the things of this world is what glorifies God. God said he did a work in you. And if we want to take credit for it, if we want to say it was all because of what I have done, it is not giving God the glory. So he uses me to be able to stand before you and speak of him. Because you know who doesn't save you? Me. You know who can't talk you into being saved? Me. If I can talk you into it, guess what someone else can do? They can talk you out of it. It is the power of the Holy Spirit is who does the work. So strength is made perfect in weakness. Let God work. And whenever we let God work in us, man, we can see great and mighty things. And that can be so many things, you know, within the church, within your personal life. There's just so many things that you can do for the Lord if you're giving him the credit. Guess what it does? It takes the pressure off of you. Because I'm just following the Lord. Charles Stanley, y'all remember Charles Stanley, he used to say, you know, do what the Lord tells you and leave all the consequences up to him. You just follow the Lord and leave the consequences up to him. Guess what? That takes the pressure off of you. You just follow God. You say, well, I told that person about the Lord and they didn't get saved. It ain't our job to save them. It's our job to tell them. Guess what you did? You planted a seed, whether we know it or not. And Paul talks about this in the book of Corinthians. He talks about, you know, planting seed, you know, and Apollos watered, you know, but God gave the increase. God is the one who did the mighty work within the people's lives. The irony of salvation through suffering. Why would my salvation have to come through suffering? Isn't there a different way? Couldn't God have made it a different way? There had to be a blood sacrifice in order to pay for our sins. There had to be the shedding of blood. When did that start? Some people thought it started whenever there were sacrifices and they put them on the altar, but it actually started back when Adam and Eve sinned and God had to kill an animal, take its skin, and cover their bodies. Cover their nakedness. Cover their unrighteousness. And that's what God has to do today. The shedding of the blood of Jesus Christ covers our unrighteousness with righteousness. Man, ain't that good? Y'all must not think so. Man, God is good, and He desires for us to love Him and us to love His salvation and thank Him and us understand or us accept His suffering that He took upon Himself so that we could have eternal life. What was the purpose of the cross? You know, it talks about in verse 21. He says, you know, in verse 21, for since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. Folks, it was the purpose of the cross is to save people, the redemption of all. We go to the second one, Anna. The redemption of them all. God's plan for salvation was for everybody. I'm not one that believes, and you may be, but I don't understand it. I'm not one that believes that God saved, God is here and He predicted that some will be saved and some will be lost. God desires that all will be saved. Am I so foolish to think that all people will be saved? No, I'm not. But God's plan is for man to believe in Jesus Christ, in Himself, as their Lord and their Savior. That they may be saved and that they may have eternal life in Him. God's plan was the cross. And the gospel message. That the inclusivity, you know, the only thing, that it is only one thing that can save you. The gospel stands on its own. What does the world tell us? We talked about, you know, earlier, the world's wisdom says, you know, well, good and bad, you know, let's weigh them. You know, if I'm good enough, then St. Peter, you know, with his wings sitting at the gate that we all see on the shows and on the cartoons, that he'll open up the gate and he'll say, come on in. It's not the way it works. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, it tells us that the gospel is what saves people. What is the gospel? The death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. There's nothing else that can save you except Jesus Christ and what He did on the cross of Calvary. When we look at, you know, what Jesus did, you know, it tells us, you know, that God demonstrated His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That sounds familiar. Does that sound familiar for some reason? Y'all got that memorized, don't you? Should, because it was one of our memory verses a couple of weeks ago. But Jesus tells us in John that I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father except through me. Well, Billy Graham was pretty, you know, he was pretty good. You know, he was a pretty religious man. You know, Billy Graham, you know, he did great things in this world. You know, Billy Graham, Billy Graham should have been able to go. Billy Graham would tell you that it's only through Jesus Christ. And he did millions of times to people around the world, and millions of people were saved because of the message of the cross that he preached. And you have other great preachers of the past, you know, they preach God's message, and that is what saved people. And what the purpose of the cross is for also is to transform our lives. in 1 and 26, it says, "For you are called, brethren, not many wise according to the flesh, but many mighty, not many noble were called." We are called because it transforms our life, calling the unlikely and the unqualified. I will tell you that I was unqualified when he called me, and I am still unqualified today because I don't know him good enough, and I will never know him good enough to be qualified within myself to preach God's word. But God does not look at my qualifications. He looks at Jesus's qualifications. And that's what we have to look at. What does Jesus tell us? What does this world, Jesus is good. He was a good prophet. He was a good person. But you can do it without him. No. It's only through him. He calls us, to do great things. He calls the unlikely and the unqualified. I would tell you, whenever I was a senior in high school, I was voted the shyest guy in my senior class. I would not talk. I would not get up in front of anybody. You can go get my yearbook from 1991, and you can open it up to the senior pages. You know them pages where, all this said, and you'll see my picture under the shyest guy in the class. That was actually a pretty bad little category, wouldn't it? What does that make you? Probably makes you shyer, don't it? But it just tells you something, that God is the one who does it. The unlikely. I was not the likely one to become a pastor. I was not the qualified one to become a pastor. My degree is in business administration and finance. I worked at the bank for 12 years before I went into ministry. I am not the qualified. I did go to seminary, and I learned some things at seminary, or some people call the cemetery, but it is a place, that you learn something, but it does not, and some people say it does, but it does not teach you how to preach God's word. They have preaching classes, but preaching comes through the power of the Holy Spirit, not through a textbook. And you don't have to have a degree in order to preach God's word, because why? He called the unlikely and the unqualified. And he changed in the change in identity through Christ. He changed us. I am not the same person that I used to be. Thank God for that. That I am not the same person. And I'm not saying that I was, a bad, bad person according to the world's standards. But you know what I was? A lost sinner. Headed to hell until I gave my life to Jesus Christ. I don't want to go back to that person. And some of you have different testimonies. You might have lived a rough life, and God brought you out of that, and he brought you into a life of righteousness, and you live for him, and you serve him on a daily basis. That is great, because guess what you have that I don't have in that area? A testimony. Because a testimony means a lot. Because there's some people I can't reach that you can reach. Some people hear that I'm a pastor, and what do? They shut off right there. But you can reach them, because they know who you once were and who you are now. So let us be different, because the gospel, the cross, is what changes our identity, who we are. And it's through the cross of Calvary and our Savior, Jesus Christ. In the last one, the perspective, of the cross, humility and understanding. In verse 19, we'll go up just a little bit. And he says, "For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. You're not going to get to heaven and say, but Lord, I have a high school diploma, I have a associate degree, I have a college degree, I have a master's degree, I have a doctorate degree. You've got to let me in. God cares less about what degree you have. He wants to know if you've got Jesus. Or let me rephrase that. He wants to know if Jesus has you. Because there's a difference in you having Jesus and Jesus having you. Does he have control of your life? Humility and understanding. The more I read God's word, the more humility I get, the more I see that I didn't deserve it, but he gave it to me with grace and mercy. And that's what I have to rely on, recognizing our limitations. Guess what, man? One of my seminary professors, he said, know your limitations. Know your limits. Know where to say, this is beyond what I can do. There are other people that can help. Because we can't do everything. If you need counseling that's beyond just spiritual counseling, I'm going to send you somewhere else. Not that I don't love you. Not that I don't want to know what's going on in your life. But I am not a counselor. I'm going to send you to Adam O'Dell at Calvary. That is a licensed counselor. I'm going to send you to someone in the Arkansas Baptist, you know, convention. You know that in our Arkansas Children's Home has a counseling program that they do that has counselors all around the state of Arkansas. I'm going to send you to one of them because I know my limitations and I don't want to overstep what I know in order to destroy someone else. I need to know, and we need to know our limitations, the need for diverse, you know, revelation, the unity in diversity. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10, so we'll go back, you know, a little bit. Now I plead with you, brethren, in the name of the Lord our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there is no division among you, but that you are perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. In order for us to work the way that we are supposed to work, we need to be joined together. We don't need to be divided. We need to come together. Come together despite our differences. There are different personalities throughout this church. But we have one thing in common, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord uses the different personalities to reach different people, but he also uses the different personalities to draw us together in order to do what God has called us to do as a church. Y'all ever heard that expression, opposites attract? Yeah. We attract together to do great things. And we are called to be two bodies in Christ, one body. One body with many members. Each member has a different job that God has given them to do within the body. Where's the head? Who's the head? Christ is. I might be a pinky toe, but I want to be the best pinky toe I can be for the Lord. Because that pinky toe is important. So what are you going to do with Jesus today? What are you going to do with the cross? You know, with wisdom, are you living by the worldly wisdom, or are you living by the spiritual wisdom of God that He is giving us in His Word? I will tell you, if someone says they're giving you spiritual wisdom and it's not in here, you better run for the hills. Get away from them. Because God's not going to reveal anything that's not in here to someone. So you say, well, that's contrary to what God's Word says. Well, God gave it to me. Run. God gave us what we need right here. If you're struggling with things in life, look to the Psalms. Look to Proverbs. Man, there's so many great things within God's Word that can help you and me in our lives. Jesus loves you, and He's proven it to you by His death on the cross. Will you give your life to Him today? We're going to sing another song, that we are made for more. We are made for more than just coming and being here. We're made to be part of the body of Christ, to do great things with Him. So we'll have this song, and then we'll have an invitation. What is the Lord calling you to do? You do not have to wait for invitation to come to the altar. If you need to talk to me, you just motion to me, and I'll come down and I'll talk to you. I don't have to sing this song. Because guess what? I'm not qualified to sing it anyway. God is wanting to do something in your life. Are you going to surrender to Him today?
This is a new song, and you know, we're not in control of technology either, so if you go back and start the words first, just back up.
Life again, I was made for more. tended a grave, I was called by name, born and raised back to life again. I was made for more,
so much more. So
why would I make a bed in my shame when a fountain of grace is running my way? I know I am yours. I was made for more.
Salvation. Lord, just let us just follow you today, Lord. And Lord, if there's anyone here this morning that does not know you as Lord and Savior, Lord, that today would be that day that they would give their life to you. Lord, and any other decision that needs to be made, Lord, just let ones be obedient to your call in their life, Lord. Lord, and we ask this in Jesus' name.